right, what's up? It's Michael. Yo, thank you for checking out the podcast. If you're listening, if you're checking it out on Facebook, YouTube, thank you so much for the love. Like it, subscribe it, do all that fun stuff. I wanted to catch up with this guy because, let's see, where do we go? Miami, right?
Miami. I was your intern way back when. I was getting you coffee, and I would bring you the coffee, and then you'd throw it at me, say, hey, this is too hot or something.
Stop it.
You know? No, we go all the way back Y100 in Southeast Florida. We go way back to Florida.
So were you my intern or no?
I was your intern for a little bit. Then I got moved up to Jay Nice in the evening show. And then I was
able
to co-host with Jay Nice. Jamar, good guy.
That's right. Because I did afternoons at that time.
Yeah, you were doing afternoons. You were the hottest thing in Miami then. Everybody was bowing down to Michael Yo at that time.
Stop it.
They still are.
Tell everybody what you do now.
Well, right now I own a PR firm. We're based all across North America into other parts of the world. But if you want to rewind a little bit, there was the Florida. There was, interning at radio. And then I had my own radio show. I got picked up. And I started doing radio all across Canada. I finally ended up on Kiss FM in Toronto. And then from there, I got, I started talking to a guy named Martin Sheen. And he said, you know what? You've got a good personality. Would you move down to Hollywood, which is right behind me, and do PR for me and help out? And I said, heck yes, I would. And I quit radio in that time, and I moved down to Hollywood. Started working for another PR firm that was representing Martin at that time. We started doing all the Glee Kids, a bunch of other big acts and stuff like that. And finally, I said, you know what? I want to do this myself. I can do this on my own. And I made a partnership. I bought out that PR firm I was working with, rebranded under my own name, ZTPR, Zach Tepperman PR. And at that time, there was only PR firms that were doing, celebrities or just doing restaurants or just doing tech. And I said, why aren't we doing PR for everybody? A tech company needs a celebrity, a dressmaker, a fashion artist needs somebody, a celebrity to wear their stuff on the red carpet. So I was like, let's represent all different types of people. And at that time in 2014, it was the first of its kind.
Yeah, that was new at that time. But like we've skipped. I want to go from people know what you do now. I want to go back to you leaving radio. What year was this you left radio?
I left radio, I want to say, in 2009.
Martin Sheen at some time in 2009 goes, hey, why don't you come out and be my PR person?
Yeah, he liked my personality. I don't know why,
my question is, how'd you hook up? How'd you get in the same universe as Martin Sheen?
Well, I was doing radio in Toronto, and I had a gossip show. I was interviewing all different types of celebs and stuff, and I got invited to a bunch of TIFF parties at that time, and a couple of the TIFF parties actually came to me. They're like, Zach, you interview all these celebs on your show. Do you know any of them that you could bring out to our events? And I said, yeah, heck yeah, I do. So I invited Martin through his publicist and, a couple other celebrities at that time to this party. I was obviously at the party, and we were just networking and talking there.
Now, that's the problem I have. Like, you're so good at it, Zach. I think I would be way ahead if I networked more. I don't network really. And my wife gets on my case. LA is a place where it seems like talent is one thing. And sometimes talent wins, but you have to network, don't you?
You do. You can get anybody into the doors. It's easy to get in the doors. But once you're in that door, what do you do when you're there? And yeah. I tell a lot of my clients, I can open the doors. I can give you the access. But it's up to you once you're there. So like I can get them into a party with, some top entrepreneurs or some top business people. And it's up to them to talk their thing and, promote themselves and just network and, gain those friendships. So, yeah, you got to get out there, Michael.
I know. But I live in Vegas now. But, I've done well.
You've done pretty well.
I've done pretty well for not networking. So now my brain is like, oh, if I throw in the network element now, maybe it can kick up a couple of notches. And that's one of the main reasons. Because me and Zach, we keep up with each other on Instagram. But I want to let people know, I actually called you because I'm working on a new special we're going to release next next year. And I was like, oh, just throwing around ideas. You had a bunch of ideas for me. And, you know, that was me opening up to, look, I know this guy for years. Let me reach out. This was networking and getting back in touch. And that's what it is. If to me, what I hate is the fake networking, where you're just talking to people you don't want to talk to.
You know what I mean? Walk in a room and you're like, hey, let's do lunch sometime, when you really don't care to do lunch.
Never. Right? You never want to see that person again. But me actually keeping, you know, I was in Miami when you were there. I was like, oh, well, I know you're successful at what you do. So let me reach out and see if you have any ideas. And that's how this whole podcast came about, because I'm so happy for you and proud of you that you go from an intern on radio, meet Martin Sheen. He says, come to LA, work with my PR team. So when he asked you to come to LA to work, did that PR team have a choice of hiring you or no? Or did Martin Sheen hire you?
Yeah, I mean, the PR team, you know, I got along very well with the owner of the PR firm. You know, I met him at the same party, and we worked out a whole thing because, you know, I was Canadian at that time. I needed a visa. I needed to get stuff to be able to get down here. So, yeah, we all got along, and, you know, it was a good 4 or 5 years I was at this PR firm, and I started, you know, as a little junior publicist, not knowing even what the heck PR was, to being able to run the show. And it was a great experience, and I was able to fly after that. But yeah, it was all about networking. It was really just reaching out to contacts and being like, hey, what are you up to? And I still do that today. There's still a lot of editors, a lot of people in radio that were, you know, interns in radio that are now, you know, program directors or, you know, on air at different stations. And I still hit them up because I'm like, hey, I've got a musician I need to put on your show. And Now they're in a position of power. So it's always good to keep in touch with people and just, you know, reach out and be like, hey, what's up? What can I do for you too?
Right. Because it goes both ways. What I feel like, it must be hard for a publicist. Someone, if you have a lot of celebrities, someone's always asking you for stuff. But we forget about the other side. That publicist is judged for what they can get that celebrity as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're only as good as your network. And if you can be the best publicist and have the best ideas and stuff, but if you have nobody to give those ideas to media-wise to actually get the message out there, then it's just an idea. So yeah, you know, half of my job is keeping in contact with people, attending events as much as I'm, you know, exhausted from events now.
Yeah.
After you attend the same red carpet, you know, for 10 plus years, you're kind of like, all right, here we go again. But You'll have to do it so that you know the line, so that you know the publicist, so that you know the manager, so you know the media outlets. So, you know, I could show up to an event and be like, hey, I know 30 photographers here. I need all you guys to shoot my client that's about to show up. And if I didn't attend those events and do those things, I'd show up and be like, who are all these guys?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the most embarrassing thing. I don't think it really happens to women, but for men, that's why I never walked red carpets. It's because they don't care about guys unless you're famous. With a woman, you could be an unknown, but in a fabulous dress or look amazing, and everybody will take your photo.
And like,
that's why my friends are like, always walk the red carpet. I go, you don't understand the business. It's a whole game behind this.
But, you know, you've done red carpets. You've been on that side of it where, you know, you're interviewing celebs as they come. And, you know, I'm sure you knew at that time, you know, the publicists or the managers or the stars remember you and stuff. But if you don't go to that anymore, then it's like, okay, we get to catch up once every couple of years. And then it kind of fades down and slow. So you got to just keep on going, you know?
Oh, man. It sounds so exhausting to me. I don't know how you do it.
I mean, I'm exhausted too. I mean, I'm almost 37 here, and I am, you know, I'm exhausted by it. But, you know,
but it's also your business.
It's a business. It's part of the business. And, you know, I don't work with that many celebs anymore. So I've been, you know, because celebrities and musicians, they are a 24-hour job. I mean, you know, they don't have 9 to 5 business hours like business people. You know, you get to turn it off if you're a business owner at 6 o'clock.
But let me ask you something before you move forward on that. Did you feel like when you were doing celebrities, it's almost like babysitting too? Because some of my friends are very successful PR people, and I've been with them. When they get a phone call at a random hour, and it's like, I need something from the store. Like, how do you? And I'm like, but you're PR for, yeah, but it's kind of like an assistant too, if they're big enough. Did you ever experience that?
It is. I mean, I got in a phone call at 3 a.m. from a client that I won't name, and he goes, Zach, I want to kill myself. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, yeah. What? I'm like, where's your wife? He goes, oh, she's sleeping next to me. I'm like, no, 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 no. Like, wake her up, talk to her, have that conversation. That ain't my job here. I mean, no. I have a statement. I can be able to help you, you know, in the morning, but like, don't be calling me at 3 a.m. for that. But so, yeah, we're kind of like babysitters. We're kind of like your best friend. But I mean, a publicist is somebody you trust fully with your life, your career. So, I mean, there is that connection there between publicist and, you know, client, whereas a manager and an agent are kind of only getting paid based on your jobs, and a publicist is getting paid on a retainer. So we're always there for you no matter what.
Do you feel... because if people don't know, it's public relations. Public relations is every big celebrity has it, gets them into magazines. It kind of handles their schedule. It does everything about the celebrity is handled through PR to get access. When Jimmy Kimmel, Fallon want a celebrity, they hit up the publicist. You know, so everything goes through a publicist for all you people that don't know the industry. Now, do you think, and I honestly believe this, do you think you can take a nobody? Let's say a beautiful person, boy, a guy or a girl, and make them famous just through PR.
100%.
With no talent.
I've done it a few times. I've even had a girl, I was able to get her a show in Vegas. And she was an unknown girl that literally looked like a streetwalker. No joke, got her a show in Vegas. I've taken myself. I can't even sing. I can't sing I'm tone deaf, you know, Michael, you, like, I am horrible. And I took a song about a year ago, and I made it number one on the charts in the U.S., Canada, and overseas just through PR and media exposure. I was able to take myself under a secret identity to number one on the music charts. Based no talent, just based on PR. So I've done that with a girl in Vegas. I've done it here. I've done it multiple times.
Now, did you do that just to see if you could do that?
I did it to prove that you don't need, you know, it's not all about talent. Talent can only get you so far, but 100%. It's telling your story. I mean, if I had, you know, Rolling Stone, People Magazine, Fox News, CNN, et cetera, all at the exact same time say that Michael Yeo is the sexiest man in the world. All of them ran a story at the exact same time. All of a sudden, you're the sexiest man in the world. Everybody's talking about it.
And that's what's so amazing about it to me. Because it's a bit, I think as a normal consumer, because now, you know, I'm not on the red carpets. I chose not to do that life. I got frustrated about waiting on celebrities and stuff like that. But I enjoyed the interview process.
You were smart. Let's leave it there. You were smart, because that is a crazy, hustling, different kind of lifestyle than you live now.
Like, you, it's funny, like, when me and my wife first met, she was my fiance. I was literally like a doctor of interviews. Like, when my phone went off, they could be like, in 3 hours, we need you at an airport to fly to Italy to interview Tom Hanks because he's shooting a new movie. You know, that's the way it was. And it sounds glamorous, but anything is not fun after 10 years. You know, even if you're going to Rome, you're going to all the, and everything's paid for, but you're like, what am I doing with my life? I'm interviewing celebrities, which is cool, but all day long I'm hearing about them living out their dream and I'm not living out mine.
Exactly. You know, you're creating their dreams to come true, and you're not focused on yourself.
You're part of you're helping make their dreams come true, which is great, but it's not really doing anything for you.
And that's kind of where I'm at with my career. I mean, I have my staff that still, you know, handle all the different clients and stuff, but the accounts I work on and the people I work with or the brands I work with, it's things that, you know, number one, I can invest into and I actually, you know, have a passion for it. But it's also a lot of my clients, I'm able to, you know, invest in their companies in the future and actually see that, hey, if I'm going to build you into a $100 million company, I want some stake in that. I want to be able to build so that I can create a life for myself also.
Now, how much money, like this girl you made famous, right?
Yeah.
Got her a show. How much money did she spend in a year to make that happen? Or did it take a couple of years?
It was 1 month. She came into my office.
What?
I'm going to do the worst accent, and all your listeners can look this up after. She walked in and she goes, "Hello, Zach. My name is Christina Caro. I am from Ukraine. You make me famous 1 month, I give you $20,000. 1 month, ooh, you make $20,000. And let me get not get this wrong. This was like years back. This was like about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And at that point, so I was
press
like,
"Press was harder to get back then, correct?"
Press was much harder to get back then. And I said to her, "I'm like, I will make you famous in 1 month. You just have to listen to everything I say." And what I did is I came up with a story how she's from the Ukraine, how she grew up with Mila Kunis, how Mila Kunis stole her pet chicken when she was younger. And now that she's in the U.S., she's suing Mila Kunis for $5,000 for stealing her pet chicken because it's bringing up all these memories. And now TMZ's running a story saying, oh, woman, you know, sues Mila Kunis for stealing her pet chicken. You know, and her chicken's name was Doggy because, you know, she couldn't afford a dog. And she came out with a song called Give Me Green Card. It went, give me green card. And so all of a sudden, we, you know, we connected with Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's publicist. They did a whole video. Ashton's calling out Mila, like, why did you steal this girl's dog, like chicken? And wow, it went all over the place. It went viral.
Well, you know, you pause. Keep going.
Yeah, so the song went all over the place. It you know, it had millions of hits. It had everything. You know, the news outlets were putting her on. And then she got, you know, she was like, all right, what's our second thing to do? And I said, your next song's called Elevator. The song literally goes, elevator go up, elevator go down. And what we did is we went to Vegas. We took out, at that time, it was the Hard Rock. I don't think the Hard Rock's there anymore. But we took out the Hard Rock. They had a hotel suite that had an elevator in it. And I put her in the elevator, and she set the world Guinness record for singing the same song in 24 hours. Literally, her going, elevator go up, elevator go down. And we invited media into the elevator to interview her while she's doing this. Anyways, one of the guys, I think from the Win or wherever, saw her and was like, hey, we want to give you a show for a month here just because, you know, you're hilarious. You're out there. You're getting all this press. Why not? And she ended up getting a show.
That's incredible. And I tell you one thing I learned, and I don't want to give too many secrets out from the industry, but a lot of beef fighting you see in the tabloids is manufactured by PR people. They're not like I was in one of them, actually. I was in a meeting. I was, put it like this. I was in with a celebrity that trusts me and their PR person. And this other celebrity kind of attacked them. And they go, oh, this is perfect. Like, and that celebrity called him, and they had this whole beef that was playing out because both of them were promoting something. It's so, like, people don't understand.
Relationships, fights, stories. You don't know how many times. Like, that's why I don't even read the news because, you know, half of it is, it, you know, it's made up.
Manufactured.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, a lot of stories we do, but it's about getting the goal. So this person's goal was to get that show, and after that, that was the end of it. Some people, I'm not telling every person, like, if you want to get yourself out there, I'm not saying go sue Mila Kunis for $5,000. There's a proper strategy in place,
yeah,
you know,
of course,
for long-term success. If you want 15 minutes of fame, go streak down Hollywood Boulevard. You'll get a couple of cameras, but that's not going to lead to what you want. So you got to be smart about it. So, you know, but it is made up. It's all about the publicist and the client kind of coming up with the stories, figuring out the goals, and planning accordingly.
Do you feel... I guess your industry is like a lot of industries. Do you feel like once you have a lot of big celebrities, a lot of times those agencies, not talking about individual publicists, but the agencies get lazy?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of agencies have gotten lazy. I don't mind calling out a bunch of agents. You know, I won't put names, but yeah, a lot of agents do come to us. And, you know, they try to like white label our services, you know, from my firm. They come and say,
now, for the people listening, what does white label mean?
White label means, so our agency, we have we do PR, but we also have a whole platform where people that don't want to hire a publicist or can't afford a publicist, you know, so PR publicist, just so your listeners know, costs anywhere from like $4,000 to $10,000 a month for an individual. When you go business-wise, you go a little bit higher. So a lot of people can't afford, say, 3 months of $30,000 yeah, worth of PR. So we have a service where it's like, hey, I just want to be on E! News, or I just want to be, you know, in this publication. So they can hire us for a one-off publication. And so we offer that. So a lot of these big agencies that are PR agencies or managers or whatever, instead of hiring a junior publicist for $30,000 or $40,000 salary, they come to me and say, hey, for $5,000, can I get a couple articles done for my client who's paying me $10,000?
Yeah.
And do it for us. And they're white labeling.
Now, I don't want you to undercut yourself. I want people to realize this type of business happens, but the person has to have some talent for these people to write about them too. You know what I mean?
I want to say yes or no. I want to disagree with you a little bit, Michael. Yo,
I was trying to help you out, Zach. I was trying to help you out, but okay.
I know. I mean, you do have to. I mean, no matter what you're doing in life, you have to have a passion or a talent for it. There's a reason you're doing something. You could be terrible at it, but yeah, a lot of media outlets also these days, you know, if the price is right and you know the timing is right, you could get anything written these days about you.
You know, what's crazy to me? I got to tell you something that I learned only about 2 years ago. You know when these comedy albums come out on Apple, iTunes, and they go number one? My friend said from the people that they go, oh, we make albums number one. All you got to do is in an hour buy like 20 copies of a comedy album. That next hour is number one. You screenshot it, and then you put, we got the number one. I was like, that's all. I was thinking you had to sell thousands of it. He goes, dude, we bought 15 copies for this comedian in 1 hour. It shot to number one. We took a screenshot. And then I saw that comedian posted everywhere. I'm like, oh. So all what, this what, number one comedy number album one? Is false.
Yeah, once you hit number one, you know, you can screenshot that and play off of it for a good few months, you know? And that's a lot of people.
It was so simple. When he broke it down to me, it was so simple. He goes, buy 10 to 15 copies. And he goes, if you buy 40, you're there for sure. You just got to outsell everybody that hour. And for the next, like, couple hours, you're number one. It's insane.
You're giving away the secrets here, Michael. Yeah.
I am giving away secrets. Because that really pissed me off. Because I've been going all these years thinking you had to sell thousands, and they were like, dude, just buy 40, 30
copies.
It's
also what genre. So if you look at, before you launch, you can look, especially with books, authors that self-publish and stuff on Amazon or anywhere. You look at the genre, and you see what's selling, you know, a week prior, and then you release it on a certain time that you know nothing else is getting released or something else small, and you can become a number one best-selling on Amazon. You can become a number one New York Times bestseller. Wow. So again, it's, you know, there's also a lot of awards out there. You know, there's a lot of parenting awards. There's different awards that different outlets do that you pay the right price and you release at a certain time, or, you know, you don't do enough clicks on their website refreshing. You can get number one for that hour. Then you just highlight it and send it around.
I got to tell you, you're ruining it for me, Zach.
Ruining it for a lot of people here, but
you're ruining the business, man. You're ruining the mystique of Hollywood, and you find out it's money.
It's a bunch of BS. It's a bunch of BS.
It really is. It's just a bunch of BS. And I'm starting to see a lot of these comedians, they have these big articles, and I'm like, how'd they get in that magazine? And Zach sat me down like a couple of days ago. Oh, this is how you do it. Like, oh.
But it's also like comedy shows and concerts and stuff. So you see all these artists, they sell out venues. Hey, we're sold out. But realistically, they could be 200-300 tickets away from selling out. And they have an incentive that if they do sell out the venue, they get a kickback. So it's more worth it more for them to buy 300 tickets and say we're sold out than 100%.
Because the venue doesn't care as long as you sell the tickets.
Right. So, it's funny, you know, ever since I got into this, and I didn't know all this. I mean, I was in radio. I just was, you know, tuning on the microphone and interviewing them. But it's funny when you bring away, you know, Oz's, wardrobe or whatever it is, like the mystique, it's all there. And you kind of see, all right, it's a bunch of BS of people just promoting BS to each other, reading the BS, believing the BS, and we're all just living in this BS world. So what do we do with that information? And the thing is, live your freaking life. Like what you like, do what you want, and don't worry about what anybody's telling you.
Now, let me ask you, before we get out of here, the things you are doing, can other PR companies duplicate what you're doing without using you?
No, because it comes down to network. It comes down to access again. You know, there's people, you know, there's people I know, and you know, some of them might be the same. Some of them might be different. It's really your relationships. And you're hired. That's why you're hiring a publicist, is again, relationships. If that person has no relationships and they're just sitting in their mama's basement doing nothing, then you're really just hiring, you know, some guy, you know, overseas that's really doesn't know anybody. So again, it's all about network and access. And that's why I'm out here in Hollywood right now. You know, I'm getting ready for Oscar week. And I live in that.
Oh my God, the Oscars. That's right. See, I'm so far out of it, man. It feels good. Every time I see someone like on a red carpet, as far as like a reporter, I'm like, yo, they got there like 5 hours before that carpet even opened just to go through security
check. And the events don't give food. They don't give water. They don't give nothing to the publicist or the media at all. That's the one thing, is like any event I've ever done, because I've been on the media side of it, I make sure I have a buffet ready for the media.
Well, let me ask you something, Zach. Let me ask you something. And I know it will never happen because they're always ego-driven people and people trying to one-up each other, especially on the reporter side. These celebrities, certain celebrities that take forever and people wait around for them, right? Yep. What would happen if all the press just left? Why can't the press just say, we're tired of waiting 3 hours after the carpet is over for X celebrity? And there's only really two that do this. We all know. Right. I'm not going to call them out. But
they show up, they show up right at the end.
And they're both female. They're both female. And it's two of them. And I've already put out one of them in a video before that went viral. But why can't press just get on the same page and like, yo, we're not going to wait for people. Be on time or we leave. Because one ET, one E will stay and get the interview, and then everybody else will be pissed. It's just they keep backstabbing each other. That's why if you notice, Zach, from when I started to now, well, when I left the industry like 6 years ago, the wait time got longer and longer on carpets.
Because
they kept pushing it longer and longer.
Oh, I know it. Hey, I show up with my clients sometimes very, very late. And even though I try to get on time, very, very late. But it's because it sells. The media wants that one photo and they don't, they're so money hungry. And you got to think, here in Hollywood, I mean, elsewhere, it's a little different. You know, in Nashville, New York, Atlanta, Vegas, even, you know, there's only three or four media outlets. So, you know, people are more respectable to those, you know, celebrity-wise at the opening of a club or something. Here in LA, they're getting paid like literally pennies or dollars, like a couple dollars, these photographers, unless they get that shot. Get that shot, then they can sell it for thousands and thousands. So they'll wait around because it's worth it. There's the autograph hounds. There's all that. So yes, if they all disappeared and nobody paid attention to celebrity, then yeah, the celebrity wouldn't be a celebrity anymore. And we'd all, you know, go on. And trust me, I would rather us cover people that are actually making a difference in this world than somebody that is just walking a carpet that filmed something.
I tell you who I do love on a carpet is Tom Cruise, because usually he comes before the other actors. I've done three red carpets where he was the first one there and they had to hold him so a couple of other actors could go, because the fear is he goes first and then all the press leaves.
Well, I did an event, a couple of years ago, and there's great people out there. There's like Steven Spielberg, for instance. He showed up to our event. He came early. He went up to every single media outlet, shook their hand, spoke in the room, sat in the room. He got presented an award, and he's still stuck. You know, a lot of celebrities, after they win their award,
they bounce.
But he stuck around hours after the event just to talk and make sure every single person that wanted a photo or wanted to shake his hand did that. Same recently, we just did about a week ago with J.J. Abrams. He did the exact same thing. So there are good people out there. It is, though, a couple of these celebs that show up late and it gets to their head. And, you know, I don't like working with those people. I'll say, you know, go after yourself. You know, I don't want to deal with that. But the media does.
Well, And, you know, I feel it's going to happen whenever I do get my sitcom, because, they, you know, they do these things where reporters come on set. And I've gone to a lot of sets where you got to wait 3-4 hours. I will make sure the time they are assigned, I don't care what's going on, we break in and we're doing those interviews, because that's the one promise I always made to myself. When I do get to that level, and it's going to happen.
It is.
I will respect the press. And if they say interviews at 1, we doing them at 1.
It's, you know what? It's like a doctor's office. You want to show up and get your appointment when you show up, but you never do.
You never do.
You always wait.
You never do. I did a shoot one time. I had to wait 3 days for an interview.
Wait.
3 days. They made me go back 3 days in a row, and her name is Rihanna. Rihanna, you made me wait 3 days for an interview, and the bad part is you kept walking by me on your breaks. And this one only took five, and you only gave me 5 minutes anyway. It's not you, Rihanna, it's your team. But I only got 5 minutes anyway. But you were the hottest thing at that time. So I had to come back 3 days, had to drive hours to get to this location where you were shooting this video. And the anger is still in me, Rihanna.
And you want to hear something even funnier that you say that? This is how the world just works, and it's a full circle moment. And it's a good way to actually, you know, a good segue here is one of our first shows we did together. And I have a great memory. That's one thing about me. Everything is you were on the radio, you were on Y100 FM, and yep. You said, "Hey, it's Michael Yo here, Y100 FM. Here is Rihanna, stay under my umbrella." And you said, "It's gonna be raining here in South Florida, blah blah blah." And you were bringing on Rihanna's umbrella, you know, that song. And that was the first time I think I was introduced to Michael Yo in South Florida.
Look at that. I remember, were you there for our first Jingle Ball or no?
Oh, yeah, Jingle Ball. I remember.
So that was when Chris Brown and Rihanna met, I think, our first Jingle Ball.
Yeah, it was.
I remember introducing Rihanna to Chris Brown.
I remember that. And then I also remember there was one show that, I don't know if it was you, but here's a good PR stunt that you guys did at the station. I don't know if it was you or Jay, but Enrique Iglesias came into studio and he spit out a piece of gum. And we put that on eBay because
we put it on eBay. Yep.
But it got tons of attention to the station. I mean, back then, you know, there was Perez Hilton and all these other people all doing stuff. But hey, radio stations these days are, you know, kind of, you know, as radio, sadly, and I hate to say it, but radio is slowly dying. And I hate to
it's a jukebox now. It's a jukebox. They don't want personality on there.
Right. Radio. But a lot of these radio stations now are hiring, you know, my friends are like, "Hey, you've got to have a podcast on the show. You've got to do social media. You've got to go events. You got to do all these different things." Where back in the day, it was like, "Hey, let's just show up for our 2-3 hours, film our commercials after and get the hell out of there."
But back in the day, though, they let radio personalities have personality.
Right. They were
now,
actually.
Now it's like, don't talk too much. Don't do this. That's why I work for SiriusXM and I do this Pop 2K show. And I love it because they let you do you, yo. Do you?
And that's
people listen. And that's all that, man, once you strip the because everybody's playing the same music, you gotta, to stand out, you gotta have personality. Well, and now with AI's doing radio now. If you don't sound better than an AI generated, if you're just going, "That was Taylor Swift, this is Rihanna," I mean, anybody can do that now, you know?
It's true. And I mean, hey, the personality, that's why people tune into certain shows and not, but, you know, it's easier to syndicate and easier to do these things. I love what you do on Sirius. I know that. But it's sad. I wish they would bring back the MTVs and the Much Musics of the world. And
nobody watches that anymore, bro. You know
No, nobody. You know, the music video is dead, too. I mean, you throw it up there. People only can listen to 30, you know, second clips or 1 minute clips these days. So
I know if it ain't 30 seconds.
And now if you're listening to this podcast and you've lasted this long, congratulations. Congrats. Thank you.
That's why we're going to end it. Hey, man, Zach, where can people follow you if you even want that?
Yeah, no, find me on Instagram, slide in my DMs. I always say, you know what, if someone takes the time, I've said this since day one, if someone takes the time to send me a message, I'll take the time to respond to them. As crazy as they might be, I'll always respond.
All right. Follow me at Michael Yo. I'm on tour Chicago, March 14th through 16th. Also, every Wednesday night, I kicked off my residency in Las Vegas at Jimmy Kimmel. So every Wednesday night, 7:30, I'm there. So if you're coming to Vegas. Also, speaking about Toronto, my first time I'm ever going to Toronto, I'm performing April. I don't know. It's sometime in April, but it's at this place called Comedy Bar. It's my first time ever performing in Toronto. So I'm super stoked about that. So check out all the dates, michaelyo.com. What's that?
Make sure you grab some Tim Hortons when you're in Canada. That's what
I heard about the Tim Hortons. You know, there Tim Hortons is actually in like the United States now.
Yeah, it's in Ohio now, in New York. It's
in Houston, Texas. I went home to Houston. I was like, what is Tim Hortons doing here? It's so weird.
The Canadians are all over you, Mike.
All right. Hey, Zach, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me, Mike.